Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to The Spread. It is Wednesday, April 15th. It is tax day, so make sure all of you guys have claimed your gambling winnings this year on your taxes. All I'm going to tell you. I am your host, J.A., the Managing Director and Co-Founder of Cover That Spread. I am joined or will be joined shortly by Casacho. Let me see if I've got him on here right now. Looks like he'll be on in a few minutes. So let me go ahead and get this out of the way. Cover That Spread, and this show is for entertainment purposes only. So any questions you may have about the legality of gambling should be directed toward your state and local legislative offices. However, if you do have the ability to place wagers, please do so responsibly, and make sure you guys square up with Uncle Sam today. Today is the day. What else do we got going on? Right now, we have the NBA playoffs are coming up. We have the we've got baseball started up, and that is in full swing right now. So, you know, we have a lot that has been going on. And there is a lot of action you guys can get in on. So I think Casacho is on the phone now. How's it going today, man?
It's going perfect. Looking forward to another show. Looking forward to the NBA playoffs. Again, like we said last week, we got some soccer finishing up seasons over in Europe. So we've got a lot to talk about. And the MLB season kicking off in its second week as well.
Did you get in on any soccer action today?
Today I did not.
I did.
Got into a little bit last weekend. I know we had talked earlier. You said you had put a play on Barcelona.
I did. They won 3-1. That was good. I should have taken them on the – I got them at -115. It was almost a month ago now that I bet that. But – they, I should have taken one of the goal lines, but I did not. But hey, money's money, right?
That's right.
So, what kind of action? What was your feeling on the last couple weeks here of the NBA? I know we still have some games today, some even somewhat important games. Personally, I don't think there's any value on the board, but do you have any thoughts or feelings coming into this part of the season from player? Are you going to take anything you saw over the last two or three weeks into account while we're getting into the playoffs?
There's a couple things to take into account, and that has to do more with health than anything. We know with the Bulls, Derrick Rose just came back. For the last five games, it's kind of been up and down. No word yet on if he will play tonight or not. The game doesn't really mean anything for either the Bulls or the Hawks. The Hawks are another interesting one with Thabo Sefolosha getting hurt, breaking his leg, and being out for the playoffs. So there's a couple things to consider. The Spurs, super hot right now. Pretty much the same record as last year after the rodeo trip, which is when they caught fire and made their run to the finals. So health more than anything comes into play when the playoffs start.
Yeah, I think it's actually the rodeo trip, just
okay,
so we're
rodeo.
Clear, all right? I mean, you know,
okay.
I do spend
okay.
a little bit of time in Texas every year. But you know, I was really surprised with the Spurs. I mean, we saw them a lot of the season. They were hanging around that seventh and, you know, sixth spot in the West, and then they made their run, and now they're in third. I think they may have a shot to get second, or is that locked down?
I believe they're locked up into third place right now, and I doubt that Popovich would play his guys in the last game of the season either, so... Look for them to lock down that third seed, I believe, is where they're at.
Yeah, I don't see much value going 3-2. You're either going to get the Mavericks or you're going to get – you're not going to get a whole lot either way, you know, any kind of advantage. So I don't see the point in playing anybody. Rest them up. So right now, what we're looking at for matchups – we go 4-5 out in the West. We have Portland at 4, Houston at 5. You know, Houston really played well down the stretch. Portland's had some issues throughout the year with injuries, and they make some runs and then they kind of fall off. And you know, right now it looks like they've been kind of limping into the finish line. Do you have a feeling one way or another about Portland or Houston?
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, Portland's had some injury issues. You know, Houston's had some injury issues as well recently with Howard just coming back. You know, it's kind of been James Harden's team the whole year. He's had an MVP year, and now with his, you know, second star coming back, you know, how exactly are they going to take care of that in the playoffs as far as sharing the ball and who's going to be taking over what game when, you know, one guy is used to doing it for the whole season. So that'll be interesting. And then with LaMarcus Aldridge and even with Damian Lillard, neither one of them has been completely healthy over the stretch run here, which is why they've fallen so far in the standing. So it'll be interesting to see how that matchup plays out. I kind of like whoever has the home court advantage, which is Portland. So I kind of lean towards Portland in the series.
I think Portland has a lot more going for them. I know they've been resting a lot of players since probably like mid-February on and off. I kind of like Portland to get it done. A lot of that is I just don't have a whole lot of faith in Dwight Howard coming to play this time of year. So the 3-6 matchup out West, San Antonio is the 3, Memphis is the 6. You know, this Memphis team, I have a lot of trouble figuring out on a regular basis. San Antonio is coming in on an 11-game winning streak. Obviously, that can get snapped tonight, and it really won't make a difference. But what do you – who you got? What do you have a feeling one way or the other on this one?
You know, I've really liked Memphis this year. I thought they were going to have a great year. Towards the end, though, it seems like they've kind of fallen apart as well. They've been playing together for quite a long time. I know they got a new addition with Jeff Green. I think they've got more offensive firepower than they probably have in the past few seasons. So I think it'll be a good matchup for the Spurs, but I just think the Spurs have too much. Even though they did struggle with Memphis, I believe, 2 seasons ago in the playoffs when they went to the finals, I think they'll get it done again this year against Memphis.
I just don't think Memphis has enough offense. That's been my biggest concern with them. And surprisingly, the Spurs, you know, they've got the good – they consistently have a really good defense. They play a good team defense. But, you know, this year they're really pushing the points. Averaging 103.2 per game. So I like those numbers a lot, and I just don't think Memphis can keep up with them over the course of a 7-game series. I'm thinking Spurs probably in 6 in this one, maybe even in 5. I agree with you. It looks like Memphis kind of just ran out of gas probably about mid to early March, so I don't see them being able to come back and really do much in this series. So I'll be looking to take San Antonio. All right, the 2-7 matchup. this is an interesting one. We've got the Clippers, who had a really nice run at the beginning of the season, have gone on a really nice run at the end of the season. Even in the middle, it's not like they were bad, but Golden State was just so much better. It kind of felt like the Clippers were an afterthought for a lot of the heart of the season this year. So we've got the Clippers, 56 wins. They're going to be hosting the Mavericks at 49 wins. Now, Dallas was another team that came out hot early in the season. They really cooled off, and it seemed like they just kind of coasted their way into the playoffs. They don't like playing defense, which isn't that bad of a deal because a lot of teams don't in the NBA. But Dallas gives up the most points per game at 102.4 out of all of the playoff teams in either conference. So that's a little bit of a concern for me coming in for a team that's going to be playing against the Clippers. You know Chris Paul is going to be pushing the ball a lot. You know that Blake Griffin is completely healthy now. We all know that Dirk is old and has kind of fallen off late in seasons. You know, they've got some other guys. They've got some other guys that I like. I just don't see a scenario where they beat the Clippers. Can you give me one?
No, I think the Clippers have got too much. They're hot right now. The only thing that could play any part in it is if for some reason Blake Griffin were to get injured again. You know, that would play a pivotal role in the series, especially with DeAndre Jordan being as horrible of a free throw shooter as he is. You know, I think Dallas would take huge advantage of that. And I think the X factor, let's say if Griffin were to get hurt, or even if he doesn't, is Spencer Hawes for the Clippers. You know, he hasn't really done as much as what a lot of people thought he would, being a stretch big guy. But I could see him playing a pretty pivotal role in this series. But like you said, I think the Clippers are just going to handle Dallas in this one.
Do you think this is a steamroll effort? Do you think they can sweep them, or is this a Dallas team that is surprised, just can score points, so they're going to steal a couple?
Well, you know, I think it'll be an interesting matchup, especially between Chris Paul and Rondo. I know when Rondo first came over to the Mavs, he said this is like one of the first times he's had to play defense over the last few seasons. So it'll be interesting to see what he does matching up against Paul one-on-one and see if he can make any type of headway for the Mavericks as far as limiting his playmaking abilities on the offensive end.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there, especially with Rondo, and we saw him having some issues earlier, right after the trade, with his new coach. So, you know, if those aren't ironed out, we're definitely going to see them here in the playoffs when it's not just a couple of regular season games where it really doesn't matter if you don't play defense. Like, you're going to have to play defense in this series. Now, the number one team in the conference, the number one overall team in the league, they've got the home court throughout the playoffs, the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors are averaging a buttload of points a night when they're playing at home, and that is going to be a lot of trouble for teams because they also have one of the best defenses in the league from an efficiency standpoint. So Golden State is going to get either New Orleans or Oklahoma City. They are both playing tonight. Let's see. Oklahoma City is at Minnesota. So you've got to assume that Oklahoma City is going to get that win. And then who is New Orleans is at home to San Antonio, who San Antonio will probably be resting a lot of guys. Very good chance both teams win. Very good chance that New Orleans is in at the end of the night. What chance do you give either of these teams? Is there any matchup that they can give Golden State a run for their money? And also, how do you feel about Steve Kerr in his first playoff experience here?
You know, the biggest thing for the Warriors is more in the rebounding department, and that has a lot to do with if Andrew Bogut is healthy, if David Lee is getting minutes, you know, because they are undersized in the post, which I could see you know, kind of swinging in New Orleans' favor with them having Anthony Davis and Omer Asik down in the post. So those would be two guys that could, you know, create problems on the defensive end and offensive end, grabbing those boards. But I like the way that Golden State's been playing. I'm looking at them to continue playing well into the playoffs because this is a team that has been there, you know, with Mark Jackson at the helm. But Steve Kerr, you know, he learned a lot from both Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich. So I think he is coming prepared with a game plan, and I think he'll be able to switch up strategies when the game is on the line going forward. And I like Golden State to win the series. I don't really think it matters who they match up against, but I could see it going a possible five games and nothing more than that, depending on who they play against.
Yeah, if Oklahoma City is able to sneak in there, I don't see them winning a game against the Warriors. The Thunder are not a really good team outside of Russell Westbrook, and I just don't see them being able to do anything. The Pelicans do give them a little bit better of a chance, but that doesn't mean I think they're going to win two games. So I like Golden State in this series. I don't think that's any breaking news there. I do like Golden State to come out of the West, actually, and, you know, anything is possible at that point. But Golden State's played too good of basketball on both sides of the court all season, and they've really just done too many things all year that makes me think that they're really built for this run right here, especially because the way that Steve Kerr, you have a rookie coach who took a team that won, 48 games last year, pretty much the same exact roster, and turned them into a 66-win team. I have a lot of faith in Kerr. The fact that he was smart enough to start resting players at the beginning of March and start to get these guys, you know, a little extra breathers so they'd be ready for playoff time really gives me a lot of faith in his ability to take care of this. So let's move to the East. We've got the 4-5 matchup there. Toronto is the 4. Washington is the 5. Washington has just not played well against any of the good teams in the East, or any of the good teams in general in the league. They tend to really beat up on the lower teams and the Bulls, and that's really about it. So I don't like Toronto, but I really don't like Washington in this matchup. So I'm thinking it's going to be Toronto, but, I mean, I don't really feel good going one team or the other. What do you got?
Yeah, I think Washington has really underperformed this year. They really haven't had too many injury issues. I mean, I know they're a different team this year because they don't have Trevor Ariza, but they replaced him with Paul Pierce, which everybody thought was going to be a huge, huge addition to the team, bringing his, you know, veteran presence in the locker room and out on the court when the game was on the line. But I just don't see Washington being able to put it together at this time. You know, Toronto had a great playoff run last year, and I feel like I could see Toronto winning this, you know, with the guys being healthy. But it'll be an interesting matchup to see play out. I could see this one going 6 games, maybe even 7.
What if you had to say there was going to be a favorite in this one, would you just take plus money? Because in my opinion, I don't like either team, so I think I'd be more willing to take plus money and just roll the dice with a bat. What would you do if you were betting the whole series?
Yeah, I think you're right on with that. It's probably a good series to bet on the plus money and see, you know, what happens. I don't think the spread for any of the games will probably be that large. So it'll be an interesting matchup. But like you said, I think plus money would be the way to play in this one.
All right. Bulls, number 3. Bucks, number 6. I don't know. Bulls, they're 8 games ahead of the Bucks in the standings right now. I think the Bulls are good enough to beat the Bucks probably in 5. Milwaukee plays a lot of good team defense. They don't score a whole lot. The Bulls definitely have been pushing the ball, and they haven't really compromised on their defense a whole lot this season. So I'm going to go Bulls here. I don't see any question about it. You agree, disagree?
You know, as a lifelong Bulls fan, there's no way that I can really ever go against them. But I would say that they have really underperformed on the times that I have picked them. I could see this one probably stretching out to 5-6 games, you know, if the Bulls aren't at their best, which is very possible that they might not be. So it'll be an interesting matchup to see how the Bulls, you know, decide to bring it. I think Milwaukee has really over, you know, shot anyone's expectations this season, especially with the way that Jason Kidd kind of came in and turned it around because they weren't really expected to do too much. But I think the Bulls will get it done. It's just a matter of, you know, do they get it done right away or are they, you know, going to let the series kind of linger on? But I like this one in probably 5 games for the Bulls.
Yeah, I've been checking out the lines to see if they're up yet, and we don't have anything. They probably won't be posting them until tomorrow at the earliest. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what you can get the odds on in this series, as well as the I think the Clippers series, to see if you can get those maybe in 5 games and you know, see if you can get a pretty good payout. I'm sure there'd be some good plus money on those two series. Now, the Cavs are the 2 seed. The Celtics are the 7 seed. I definitely have Cleveland. That's no question. I think Boston can give them a decent run for their money here. On one hand, and on the other hand, I just think it's LeBron's time to come in and say, all right, we're in the playoffs, so let's get serious about this. Do you see the Celtics winning a game here?
Yeah, I can see the Celtics probably stealing at least one game, especially at home. I don't see them making too much noise on the road. Like you said, I think LeBron will kind of come in and tell them, hey, guys, you know, this is the playoffs. It'll be interesting to see because it'll be the first time that either Kevin Love or Kyrie Irving makes the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond. But I like the Cavs to kind of come in. I think LeBron is still trying to figure out what he's going to get out of his guys. J.R. Smith, however, is a playoff performer. So we could see him going off in a few games. You know, if LeBron's needing a lift from another teammate. Same thing with Mozgov coming out of Denver. You know, these are guys who have been to the playoffs before, so I think they'll kind of feed into it. And I like Cleveland with a sweep, but I could see Boston stealing at least one game at home.
So if this series, if we're looking at, you know, probably the 2 games at home, I'm just going to throw out Cleveland's favored by 12 points in both games. Are you taking points or are you laying points on those guys at home? Even though Boston has been, I don't know if I'd call them hot, but they've been, they finished the season pretty strongly to make it into the playoffs and all the way up to the 7th seed.
Yeah, you know, they've kind of come on at the end of the season. Some of the other teams have kind of choked at the end of the season. But I think that Brad Stevens is a good coach. I think David Blatt, you know, is kind of figuring out the NBA landscape with Cleveland. So I don't know how prepared he's going to be. I mean, I know he's coached overseas in a lot of big games, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But I think I would probably pick Boston to cover at home, at least, if Cleveland is favored by double digits.
I think that game 3, the first game in Boston, if they're going to win a game, that's going to be the one. I don't see them going down 3-0 and then winning game 4. So, you know, if Boston's going to win a game, it's going to be that third one. And that would probably be the one where I would wait and see what that line is and probably be jumping all over the Celtics and maybe even throwing down a small money line wager just to get the plus money. Finally, we've got Atlanta hosting either the Pacers or the Nets. So tonight we have, see here, the Nets are hosting Orlando, and the Pacers are at Memphis. Memphis is probably going to be resting guys. So Indiana has the upper hand right now. They have the tougher road. Who do you think is getting in, and how many games can they win from the Hawks?
Yeah, I think, you know, the Hawks have been playing so well. It'll be interesting to see how they react after the injury to Cephalosha. I mean, he's not a big contributor on offense, but he is a guy that they can throw in on defense. For instance, if they are to play against Brooklyn, I mean, he could be guarding Joe Johnson or Deron Williams at times. If they were to play against Indiana, he would probably be the guy that would be sticking Paul George a lot of the time. And with Paul George coming back, you know, Indiana has kind of turned around the last few games of the season here, especially with Roy Hibbert down low. I think Indiana would give Atlanta a tougher matchup. Brooklyn has really just underperformed all expectations, you know, over the last couple years with that star-studded roster that they have, especially in a weak Eastern Conference. You would expect them to play better than what they have. Brooke Lopez has really been playing well over the last couple weeks, though, but with that pounding that they took by the Bulls the other night, I really don't like Brooklyn at all. I think Orlando could play the spoiler tonight and knock them out of the playoffs. So I like Indiana even to steal a game from Atlanta if they were to make it into the playoffs. If Brooklyn makes it in, Atlanta's kind of handled them, you know, beating them by 30, over 30 at home, and then going to Brooklyn and beating them, which we had talked about on the show last week, by a few points, even though they were the underdog on the road.
The Celtics have won 8 of their last 10, 5 straight. The Pacers have won 7 out of 10 and 6 straight. The Nets have lost their last 2. They're 6-4 in their last 10. So small trends there, but, you know, definitely Brooklyn's getting outperformed in the stretch here. When I wouldn't say they had this thing in hand, but, you know, they were definitely a little more in the driver's seat than either the Celtics or the Pacers. So, you know, they've definitely fallen down. If the Nets actually make it in, they are the only team of the 18 possible playoff teams going into tonight, including the Pelicans and the Thunder, that has a negative point differential. And it's minus 3.1 points per game, so it's most likely not going to be positive at the end of tonight unless they have a really, really big blowout. So we are about to go on to archive time. I just wanted to give you guys a reminder. So if you want to hear the rest of our debate over the playoff odds and who is going to come out of the East and who is going to win the entire NBA Finals, make sure you check out the archive. There'll be about 15 minutes on there. So with that in mind, let's look at second-round matchups possible. In the East, we would have Cleveland and the Bulls. You know, I guess you take your choice. Do you want to give the Cavaliers as much time as they can to mesh and then play them at the end of the season? Or do you want to play them earlier in the playoffs and hopefully you catch them while they're still not quite right?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing will be to see how Cleveland plays in the first round. You know, if they manhandle the Celtics and the Bulls as well. I mean, if they just run right through the Bucks, you know, it'll be an interesting matchup to see what happens. You know, there's really no love lost between LeBron and the Bulls and Noah and the city of Cleveland. So it'll be interesting to see how the two teams react. You know, the Bulls did kind of tank after Derrick Rose got hurt. They had a, I believe, 9-game lead at one point on the Cavs in the Central Division, only to, you know, lose all those games while he was out. So it'll be an interesting matchup in the second round. I do still kind of like Cleveland. The Bulls are confident, but I've seen the Bulls really underachieve this year when they have had a healthy roster. So it'll be interesting to see what LeBron does with the Cavs. But that one I could see being a 7-game dogfight.
That'll be a good series. They usually are. And, you know, Cleveland is just not quite as good as those Heat teams were. So I think the Bulls definitely have a chance to give them a little bit of a better run. So then the other series would be Washington, the winner of Washington-Toronto against Atlanta. Who can beat Atlanta in the East outside of Cleveland?
Outside of Cleveland, I could see the Bulls beating them. I think the games that they played against them, they weren't really prepared for what Atlanta was doing this season. They kind of felt like they could just kind of show up and beat Atlanta like they had in the past few seasons. But I think coming in with a healthy roster, I could see the Bulls beating them. I could see the Wizards, if they put it together, beating them as well, with a size down low of Nene and the Polish Hammer, I believe they call him, Gortat. So I think that would be an interesting matchup in the second round. You know, John Wall, Bradley Beal, those guys are very quick on the perimeter. So I could see them making some noise against Atlanta if they make it in. Toronto, I'm really not big on Toronto. I think last year they kind of overachieved. This year they've kind of come back down to earth. So I don't think Toronto would have as good of a matchup against Atlanta as the Wizards would.
Yeah, when you look at Toronto, for me, them and Washington are kind of the Grizzlies and the Mavericks in the Eastern Conference, where they came out to pretty good starts at the beginning of the year. It looked like that they were going to be real contenders. And then as the season went on, just you saw too much was wrong with them. You saw that they weren't quite as good as everybody made them out to be early on in the season. So, I don't have much faith in either Toronto or Washington being able to take care of Atlanta. So at that point, we've got Atlanta versus, are we going to say Cleveland or are we going to say Chicago? Who do you think wins that matchup for sure?
You know, I can see Cleveland winning that matchup. You know, I think the Bulls are a little bit better in the post, but be interesting to see what Jimmy Butler does in the playoffs and his breakout season and the injury issues that he's had, as well as Derrick Rose returning to the playoffs for the first time in, you know, 3 years, basically, because he only played the first game 3 years ago in the playoffs. So I like LeBron to get it done against the Bulls. I'm sorry to say it as a lifelong Bulls fan, but right now, LeBron is kind of our Achilles heel. So I think it's going to be a matchup between Cleveland and Atlanta in the conference finals.
And I'm total agreement there. And then I've got the Cavs in the finals. I don't see Atlanta being able to shut down the LeBron train. They're too good on the road. And as good as Atlanta has been at home, you know, you're talking Eastern Conference playoffs. You have a team that is just, I think, too good. And Atlanta plays some really good team offense, but Cleveland just has the stars. And I don't see Atlanta being able to put up a good enough fight. Can you talk me out of that?
Yeah, I think Atlanta plays some really good team defense. So I believe that Cleveland will struggle to score, even with all the firepower that they do have. I like Al Horford and Paul Millsap in the post over Mozgov. You know, I don't really think that he's that big. I think the biggest factor is going to be LeBron. And like I said earlier, with Cephalosha being out, they don't really have that stopper that's going to be, you know, guarding LeBron and slowing him down. I know Millsap will give it a try. You know, the team defense will be playing pretty well. So
you know, Irving will probably have a rougher time. Love, you know, could go off from time to time. He's kind of been under the radar, you know, with the season going on, but he could be more of an X factor come playoff time, you know, when defenses do kind of focus in on stopping LeBron or Kyrie Irving. But I like the Cavs to get it done. I think LeBron, you know, really wants these guys to get to the finals. So I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
Atlanta won 3 out of 4 during the regular season. They held the Cavs to 101 points or less in the 3 wins, and they gave up 127 points in the 1 loss, which was back in November. So I'm not even sure who all was healthy, who all was playing at that point in their first matchup. But since then, it's been all Atlanta in that those matchups. And even at the last time they met, the Hawks held them 97 points. So yeah, it's hard to say. Hard to say if everyone was healthy. I don't know off the top of my head. I can't remember. But there's definitely a lot of ways for the Hawks to get it done there. I just don't think it's going to happen. All right. So on to the West. We've got second round action. We would be looking at Clippers versus the Spurs, the 2-3 matchup. I kind of got to go with San Antonio here. The Clippers have just been too disappointing year in and year out, and I don't see any reason to put my faith in them this year. Do you have any hopes?
Yeah, I don't really see the Clippers doing too much against the Spurs either. I think the Spurs are just too knowledgeable, you know, with what they have on the court. And I believe, you know, that Popovich is one of the better coaches, if not the best coach in the NBA right now. So I think he'll, of course, have his guys prepared again. I don't think they'll be able to really focus. There's not really one player you can focus in on the Spurs to slow them down. I mean, against the Clippers, you stop the playmaking ability of Chris Paul, that really kind of throws a hindrance into them. If you push Blake Griffin out of the post and get him on, you know, 15 feet away from the basket, he kind of struggles. So it'll be an interesting matchup, but I like the Spurs to get it done. I could see that possibly being a 6 or 7 game series as well, depending on the health of both teams. But I like the Spurs to get that one done.
Yeah, and the problem is, for either team, whoever ends up winning that, if that does go 7 games, you're coming off a 7-game series against a pretty well-matched opponent, and then you have to go and take on either Golden State or Portland. I'm going to go out there and say it's going to be Golden State, and that's going to be tough. But, you know, both of those places are probably two of the tougher arenas to play in. Golden State was 38-2 at home. Portland was 32-9. So, you know, those are going to be some real tough series. I could see Golden State, Portland going 6. I could see San Antonio and the Clippers going 6 or 7. And then whoever's winning, whoever the two are coming out of those series, I could easily see that one going a 7-game series. And then you're going to have to come out and see LeBron on the other side. So, you know, that's where the West gets tough. That is where you can really get beat up, because the teams you're going against are so good, as opposed to the guys in the East. So, Portland, do they have a chance to beat the Warriors?
I don't believe they do. I think Golden State will get it done. I think Steve Kerr will have them prepared for this series. I believe Stephen Curry is hungry. You know, I think they just got too much firepower, and they'll get it done against the Trailblazers.
So who gives them a tougher road, Clippers or the Spurs? Who's the better matchup to take down the Warriors in the finals?
I think the Spurs give them a better matchup. You know, the Warriors and Clippers historically have had some good battles. I think Golden State you know, has played the Spurs well in the past couple years, especially I believe it might have been two seasons ago as well that they played the Spurs in the playoffs, and I think they might have won the first two games even in the series, you know, if my memory serves me well. So I could see, you know, the Spurs giving the Warriors a much tougher time than the Clippers will. But with those guys in the post, Jordan and Griffin, you know, they could give the Warriors a harder time as well because Bogut might not be healthy. David Lee, you know, has been coming off the bench. Draymond Green is a little undersized, even though he uses his body very well and is kind of a stretch four player. So I think either series will be a good matchup, but I think the Spurs will give the Warriors a tougher time.
But you still like the Warriors to make it into the NBA Finals?
I do like the Warriors to make it out and make it into the Finals, yes.
So Warriors versus Cavs, who's taking that one?
I think that'll be a really interesting matchup if it does come to fruition. But I kind of like the Warriors. I think, you know, the West has been pretty good the last few years in the playoffs, especially in the finals. I mean, it was interesting to see the Spurs go down two seasons ago and then come back and win it. LeBron, you know, has a different supporting cast this year, but I like the Warriors to get it done in that matchup. However, I do probably see it being a six-game series.
Yeah, I easily see that one going six or seven. So we've got odds to win the NBA championships right now. Cleveland is the favorite. They are plus 225. Golden State is right behind them at plus 230. I'm going to go and make an official play on Golden State plus 230. You cannot argue with that plus money. If you're looking to do a really good long shot, we've got the Hawks, the number one seed in the East, are plus 925 to win the NBA championship. I don't think they have a chance to win, but that's not bad odds for a number one seed to be taking. Other than that, we've got the Spurs at plus 250, and we have Portland plus 5800. We also have the Clippers at plus 1551 and the Houston Rockets at plus 3004. Any of those you like?
Nothing that's really that, I mean, nothing. Those large odds are really telling you that, you know, those teams don't really have a shot. But, yeah, I like the Warriors. I think that's a good bet to take.
Warriors to win the Western Conference plus 121, the Spurs plus 134, and then after that we've got the Clippers at plus 815. So pretty much a two-pony race right there in the Western Conference when it comes to the odds. In the East, we are looking at Cleveland minus 218. That is the only non-plus money line on the futures right now. You can get the Bulls to come out of the East at plus 743. You can get the Hawks at plus 227. Anybody you like there?
The Hawks would be an interesting one. You know, the Bulls could even be one as well, but, yeah, I like Cleveland. I think that's the best bet.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that too. Now, so if you take, let's say you do take the Bulls and the Hawks, ideally, they both play each other in that in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then, you know, you are cashing tickets no matter what. That would be the best way to go. So we've got next week we will have some more NBA, we'll actually have NBA playoff action to be discussing. In 2 weeks, we will have some horse plays. We are going to be talking about the Kentucky Derby, which I know both of us love to bet on. So, you know, let's start looking at some horses. Maybe even next week we should start looking at some of the horses that are going to be in the Derby and just kind of going over some of the odds, and then we can make our final selections on the following Wednesday. Sound good to you, Cachacho?
That sounds great.
All right, man. Well, for the Red Light Sports Network and Cover That Spread, I am J.A. Thank you guys for listening. Take care, and may the spread be forever in your favor. Also,